The original podcast was recorded in German. This podcast was translated using artificial intelligence. Burn Rate, the Venture Insider podcast with Max Meister.
Hello and welcome back to Burn Rate, the Venture Insider podcast. I'm here with Guy Giuffredi to talk about the startup scene with a focus on venture capital. This is episode 62, recorded on Wednesday, September 10th at 9 p.m. Tonight's episode is sponsored by our partners Omnium and Upscaler.ch, and we have a premiere. For the first time, we're introducing the deal of the month. Guy, what's on the agenda?
We'll start with a quick recap of all Swiss startup transactions in August, total volumes and number of deals. Then we'll compare those figures with July 2025 and also with August 2024 and place it into an international context. After that, we'll dive into our transactions of the month. We've picked three: the exit of Datalayan to Destinus, the Series B of Loft Dynamics, and the seed round of Scanvio Medical. For each one, we'll do a deep dive into the company, its financing history, and the investors involved.
Of course, there were plenty of other deals in August we'd love to cover, but we want to give you a balanced mix of stages and sectors. And if any of you want us to go deeper on a specific transaction, just send it in as a listener question. Let's get started with the recap.
So, in August, there were 14 announced funding rounds in Swiss startups, totaling about 120 million Swiss francs. The largest were 30 million Swiss francs into Mabalon, a biotech, 24 million Swiss francs into Candly Solar, a clean tech. That was a mix of convertible and equity. And of course, 24 million Swiss francs into Loft Dynamics in aviation/VR. That 120 million Swiss francs is way down from July, when there were 26 rounds totaling 610 million Swiss francs. To be fair, July included two mega late stage rounds, Climeworks and VFox, which alone made up more than 300 million Swiss francs. Not a lot of grants or prizes in August, just a few FIT grants and one investment by the Canton of Fribourg. But there were five exits, including Datalayan, acquired by Orange, and of course the big headline, uBlox is being acquired for over a billion. Also interesting, several Swiss startups did acquisitions themselves, buying foreign firms to integrate their technology and grow via M&A. So, growth not just through funding, but also through acquisitions.
Looking at the year-on-year comparison, in August 2024, Swiss startups raised 107 million Swiss francs across 20 rounds. This August, it was 120 million Swiss francs across 14 rounds, so fewer rounds, but more capital per deal on average. Zooming out to Europe, in August 2025, European tech companies raised 3.2 billion euros across 189 deals. That's a 66% drop in capital and 47% fewer deals compared to July 2025. The biggest deal was a 500 million euro debt package for Milan's Bending Spoons to finance aggressive acquisitions. And according to Dealroom and Sifted, some of the biggest names in generative AI, 11labs, Lovable and Mistral, still managed to feature prominently in the top deals. But overall, August 2025 was a very quiet month for European VC. The industry is still active, just far more selective, fewer small rounds, more concentration in larger financings. In that sense, very similar to what we saw in Switzerland.
Omnium helps you close your funding round faster and more efficiently. Our partner Omnium is an innovative platform for growth financing, a true one-stop shop. They offer a fully digital, lean, and cost-effective process including legal frameworks, investor KYC, and payments. Startups can choose between a private round plus access to 10,000 registered investors, or a public round open to everyone. With Omnium, you raise faster and more successfully. Want to scale your startup fast, not just grow? Then the Upscaler program is for you. It connects you with founders, entrepreneurs, and the right investors. Over 50 startups have already benefited from more than 500 workshops, scaling nationally and internationally. Learn more at www.upscaler.ch.
All right, let's dive into our deal of the month, starting with Datalayan, which was acquired by Destinus in a cash and equity deal worth 180 million Swiss francs. That's almost a 200 million Swiss franc exit, a big deal for Switzerland. Dedalian builds software for autonomous flight. Destinus, on the other hand, is a dual-use drone scale-up, meaning their drones can be used for both civilian and military purposes. Though, let's be honest, in many cases, dual-use is just a nice way of saying 99% defense, 1% civilian. Still, this transaction fits squarely into the context of Europe's accelerated defense tech investments.
Exactly. We've touched on defense tech a few times on this podcast, and this deal is right on trend. Destinus is scaling at breakneck speed. They've now got over 500 employees and were founded only in 2020. And yes, one of their main customers is Ukraine, which makes the dual-use label look mostly like defense. Since Russia's invasion of Ukraine, defense tech has become incredibly attractive in Europe. Between 2022 and today, about 2.5 billion euros has been invested in European defense tech, with 1.4 billion euros of that in just the first 7 months of 2025. To put it in perspective, in 2020, only 30 million euros went into defense tech. And in 2021, just 150 million euros. Many VCs that once had defense explicitly on their blacklist because of fund restrictions now see it as a massive opportunity.
Right. And we're even seeing unicorns emerge in Europe. Helsing, Quantum Systems, and Takeover are now valued above a billion. Politically, too, the climate has shifted. At major security conferences, the message was clear: Europe needs to carry more of its own defense burden. Even at startup days in Bern, the opening keynote this year was focused on defense tech.
Defense tech is no longer a niche in Europe. It's a scaling theme. Dedicated funds are being raised specifically for it. Even NATO has launched a 1 billion euro vehicle investing indirectly into defense tech. And major VCs like Index Ventures are currently raising dedicated defense tech funds. For these investors, practical, field-tested applications are critical, especially in later-stage rounds. Right now, that often means tested in Ukraine. Those companies move much faster up the learning curve than labs that only say, "Hey, we could do this." Real-world validation accelerates product development and leads to stronger valuations.
Exactly. And this Swiss deal fits perfectly into that logic. We've got dual-use avionics, sensors, and it's all field-tested. Dedalian builds certifiable AI avionics, and now they're being acquired by Destinus.
Right. Let's start our deep dive on Dedalian, the company being acquired. Max, in simple terms, what do they do?
At the core, they're building artificial eyes and an artificial brain for the cockpit. Their software uses cameras and AI to perceive the environment, spotting obstacles, identifying runways, supporting navigation, essentially doing digitally what pilots normally do with their eyes, but with a 360-degree view. Crucially, it's certifiable for aviation, meaning robustly documented and tested to the standards of EASA and FAA. Dedalian calls this system situational intelligence, with modules like visual navigation, traffic detection, detect and avoid, and runway guidance.
And they're well beyond the demo stage. Dedalian already has pilot projects with Leonardo Helicopters, Helisul Aviation in Brazil, and others in aviation. Since 2022, they've had an office in Phoenix for the US market. And according to media reports, their FAA and EASA certification processes are well underway. For a non-aviation expert like me, it looks like they're making good progress.
Exactly. While their software was first designed to support human pilots in conventional aircraft, they're now also integrating their situational intelligence into UAVs. That's a huge area. Modular components that scale from pilot assist to higher autonomy.
That's the exciting part for UAVs. The tech could even help against jamming, because drones wouldn't rely only on internal instruments or external signals, but could literally see like a pilot. On the team side, Dedalian was founded in 2016 in Zurich by Lucas van Dijk, Thomas Kistner, and Emmanuel Mongenet. Since May 2024, the CEO has been Bas Gouverneur, who has a strong aviation background and years at Rueg. Today, the team has grown to more than 150 specialists.
Let's also talk about the buyer, Destinus. Not many people had them on their radar. They're also a startup with Swiss roots, but founded in 2020 in Payerne.
Yes, Destinus is building European flight systems with two business lines. They started with hydrogen-powered hypersonic rockets, aiming to radically speed up freight transport while keeping it sustainable. Their rockets are designed to carry goods from Europe to Australia in 90 minutes, flying as high as 50 kilometers into the mesosphere. For reference, commercial flights cruise at about 11 kilometers. They ran first validation flights back in 2022.
Their second line is unmanned systems. Since these hypersonic vehicles are ideally uncrewed, autonomy is central. So they also build UAVs for both civil and defense applications, another classic dual use case. After Russia's invasion of Ukraine, they committed to supporting Ukraine. According to a February 2024 Kyiv Post article, they were already delivering over 100 low-cost defense drones per month. That number has surely grown since.
And there's a political angle too. Founder Mikhail Kokorik was originally Russian. After the invasion, he renounced his Russian citizenship, a strong protest signal against Putin. Also important to note, the drones used in Ukraine aren't built in Switzerland, but at a plant Destinus set up in France.
They've also expanded their European footprint. For example, in the Netherlands, they acquired the IP and assets of Aerialtronics, a multi-rotor UAV platform.
And their communications make it clear, autonomy is the focus. That's exactly where Dedalion's certifiable AI avionics plugin, perception, detection, navigation, not as a demo, but as certifiable building blocks. The company already has over 500 employees, from hypersonic to hyperscale, you could say. According to Bloomberg, they even reported a €75 million EBITDA in 2024, likely thanks to drone sales.
Let's look at Dedalion's funding history. Founded in 2016, they raised their first round in two closings by June 2018 at a Swiss franc 18 million pre-money valuation, raising around Swiss franc 5 million.
Leading was Catheona Capital from Australia, joined by Red Alpine and US-based Amino Capital, plus several angels. In 2022, they raised their Series B, 35 million Swiss francs at a pre-money of 29 million Swiss francs. New investor Honeywell Ventures joined alongside the existing ones.
They also secured €2.3 million in Horizon grants, plus support from InnoSuisse. The Series B was extended twice, in May 2023 and April 2024, each time by 10 million Swiss francs, pushing the post-money valuation to about 120 million Swiss francs. According to Crunchbase, Keen Venture Partners also came on board during that time.
And just before the exit, in quarter two this year, outstanding convertible loans were restructured. In total, 20 million Swiss francs in debt was converted, part at the Series A price, part at a 140 million Swiss francs post-money valuation. Those loans came from a private investor whose name isn't public but is known to us.
So here's where it gets interesting. If we strip out the non-dilutive grants, the company raised just under 80 million Swiss francs in equity. Now it's being acquired for 180 million Swiss francs in a cash and stock transaction. Can we break down what that actually means for the investors?
Yes, based on our model cap table, we can draw some conclusions. And honestly, it looks a bit sobering. The earliest investors, who came in around late 2017, about 8 years ago, ended up with roughly a 2x multiple on invested capital. That translates to an IRR of around 10% per year.
So you mean annualized return, right?
Exactly. Not just 10% total, but 10% per annum. And here's the nuance. On paper, an entry at an 18 million pre-money followed by a 180 million exit looks like a clean 10 times. But once you factor in dilution, employee option pools, later rounds, prefs, the effective return is far smaller, closer to 2x. For the later investors who came in around 2023, they've seen about a 1.5x in 2 years with an IRR of roughly 22% per year. Max, what's your take? Was this a good deal for the VCs and the founders?
We simply don't know without seeing the waterfall. The cap table alone doesn't tell the story. What really matters is the shareholder agreement, and those details are private. Normally, later rounds include liquidation preferences, often 2x, sometimes even up to 4x. That means late-stage investors can walk away well-protected, while founders and common shareholders might get very little unless there's an exit bonus negotiated. My gut feeling, everyone probably got something. But for VCs, this wasn't a classic case. A true VC win is 10 times or at least 5 to 6 times. This deal doesn't reach that level unless Prefs tilted things heavily. For founders, I hope there was still some upside left on the common shares. But it's far from a blowout.
Exactly. Just to be clear, the numbers we mentioned come from our modeled cap table, not the actual exit payouts, which we don't know.
And remember, it's not a 100% cash deal. Bloomberg reported that Destinus is raising a 100 million Swiss franc round at a 1.5 billion Swiss franc valuation, which would make them a unicorn. That gives us a rough hint at the stock swap ratio.
And it could also explain why the deal is only expected to close at year end, likely waiting for that Destinus financing round to be finalized.
Officially, Dedalion's team and AI Avionics will integrate directly into Destinus core products to accelerate development of UAV systems for both civil and defense markets. As Destinus CTO Tim Moser put it, the integration of Dedalion's innovative solutions and outstanding team will accelerate our strategy to develop, certify, and deploy intelligent UAV systems for defense and civil markets.
And Dedalion's CEO Bas Gouverneur added, "The merger with Destinus is the logical next step. Together, we'll bring innovative AI-driven autonomy, swarm intelligence, and advanced decision-making tools to market faster, making aviation safer, more resilient, and more flexible. So even if we critique the multiples, let's be clear, this is still a meaningful exit in deep tech. Congratulations to the team and the investors. Deals like this aren't easy to pull off."
All right, let's move to the next transaction. Loft Dynamics, based in Dubendorf near Zurich. They're reinventing pilot training with fully motion-enabled VR flight simulators. Real cockpits, 360-degree visuals, modular, and far cheaper than traditional full-flight simulators. And these aren't toys. They're regulator-approved.
Technically, they're impressive. Full-scale cockpits, a 6-degree of freedom motion platform, precise pose tracking, next-gen VR headsets. Pilots say the realism is remarkable. The feel of the controls, the seats, the error scenarios.
And the size and cost advantage is huge. About 1/10 the footprint and 1/20 the cost of a traditional simulator. That opens the market not just for airlines, but also for police units, rescue teams, and smaller training centers.
When I spoke with CFO Jean-Auclair yesterday, he told me their goal is to build a decentralized simulator ecosystem. Where before you needed special halls and hundreds of millions in infrastructure, now you can deploy smaller, cheaper units. Some models start at just 1 million Swiss francs. The traction is real. Airbus helicopters, the LAPD, Air Greenland, and others are already using Loft Dynamics simulators. This proves that VR has now truly arrived in real-world pilot training.
As you know, I'm training on helicopters myself, and my dream aircraft is the H-125, which LAPD flies. And Loft actually has an H-125 simulator. Unfortunately, it's in Zermatt, not Zurich. So I might need to rearrange my training plans. Anyway, on the company, Loft Dynamics was previously known as VRM Switzerland. In 2022, after an international financing round, they rebranded. Since then, they've quickly gained regulatory approvals, first ESA certification, then, in 2024, the first FAA qualification for a VR simulator in the US.
That was a real milestone. With FAA and EASA certification, Loft's training hours can now officially count toward pilot training. That massively shifts the cost-benefit equation in favor of VR, and no other company had achieved that before them.
What's also exciting is the product line. They cover everything from basic training helicopters to heavy-duty rescue aircraft, and now they're expanding into fixed-wing simulators, specifically the Boeing 737 and Airbus A320. Alaska Airlines is already on board as the launch customer for the 737 systems. On top of that, they're developing AI-powered performance feedback for pilot training.
Exactly. In airline pilot training, the economics are huge. Training is incredibly expensive. Pilots need to log over 1,500 hours across simulators and real aircraft. So VR can become a powerful lever. Let's look at the financing history. We modeled a small cap table for Loft as well.
Loft Dynamics raised their first round back in 2020. 9 million Swiss francs split across two closings. The first was at a 12 million Swiss franc pre-money, and just 3 months later, the second closing was already at 34 million Swiss franc pre-money.
Then in 2022, they extended the round by another 3 million Swiss francs before moving to Zurich. That same year, they were approached by Sky Dayton, a venture partner at Kraft Ventures. He's both a pilot and an investor, and after testing the simulator himself, he was convinced, and he brought Kraft Ventures on board. UP Partners from California also invested, a VC focused on mobility and aviation. One of their GPs even commutes by helicopter over Santa Monica, so clearly a good cultural fit. That Series A brought in 20 million Swiss francs at a 50 million Swiss francs pre-money valuation.
And worth noting, Kraft Ventures is David Sachs' firm, co-host of the All In podcast, a high-profile VC who's backed Airbnb, SpaceX, Palantir, Slack, Uber, and these days he's Trump's go-to guy for AI and crypto policy.
Fast forward to August this year, Loft closed a Series B of 24 million Swiss francs, 20 million US dollars. New investors include the Friedkin Group and Alaska Airlines through their corporate VC arm. Existing investors doubled down as well. Dan Friedkin, the owner of the Friedkin Group, is a passionate pilot himself, one of the very few private pilots allowed to fly in formation with the US military. He even bought a simulator last year before investing. For Alaska Airlines, this is clearly a strategic bet to cut the cost of pilot training.
With this round, Loft hit a 100 million Swiss franc post-money valuation. In total, they've raised about 50 million Swiss francs in external capital. This round also included a secondary, where some early seed investors sold shares. Importantly, the founders did not sell. They're still all in.
Right. I confirmed that with the CFO. The founders are holding tight. We also talked about David Sachs' role. According to Loft, he's not just a name on the cap table. He's actively engaged at the board level alongside Dan Friedkin and Sky Dayton. They have weekly strategic sessions, not just quarterly reporting. Sachs is lobbying regulators hard to push for broader acceptance of VR-based training hours, exactly the kind of high-level leverage founders dream of from their investors.
A great example of how a venture capital can create real value beyond the capital. Airlines need to train pilots faster, safer, and cheaper. If VR simulators can cover more of the training chain, especially emergencies and procedures, the throughput goes up, safety improves, and costs drop dramatically. Did Gene give you any details on the team and traction?
Yes. When he joined as CFO in 2022, Loft had 37 FTEs. Today they're at 99, and they expect to finish the year at about 105. Revenue numbers are confidential, but he did say they're selling more than 10 simulators per year, with each priced at least at 1 million Swiss francs. The larger systems are obviously much more expensive, so revenue is almost certainly north of 10 million Swiss francs, likely closer to 20 to 30 million.
That's impressive. Loft Dynamics is truly a Swiss deep tech lighthouse. ETH roots, global traction, regulatory first mover advantage with both EASA and FAA, and now a transatlantic presence. Even though they don't market much locally, they've built a reputation in the aviation world that strengthens Switzerland's entire aerospace cluster. Kudos to the team. We'll definitely keep watching this story. Now let's shift from aviation to medtech. Scanvio Medical has just raised their seed round.
Scanvio developed AI-powered software that turns standard ultrasound devices into expert tools for the early diagnosis of endometriosis. The breakthrough? Cutting the average diagnosis time from 8 to 12 years down to just 1 to 3 years. Imagine living with pain for over a decade without answers. That's the reality for millions of women today.
And the beauty is, the progress doesn't come from expensive new hardware. The AI integrates seamlessly with existing ultrasound systems, providing real-time diagnostic support. Doctors don't need new machines. They just add the module and instantly reduce misdiagnoses.
Exactly. Endometriosis is not only hard to detect early, it's also extremely painful and often leads to infertility. The market potential is huge. About 10% of women of reproductive age in Europe are affected. And since ultrasound is already the standard in gynecology, a solution that makes these devices smarter has the potential to spread widely. far beyond specialized clinics and into mainstream healthcare.
Exactly. Scanvio is a great example of how AI software can democratize diagnostics, making advanced detection available in mainstream settings, not just at specialized centers. The founding team is strong, CEO Stefan Tuchschmid, an ETH alumnus who was previously with Virtamed, CTO Fabian Laumer, who holds a PhD from ETH in deep learning and echocardiography, and Professor Michel Baika, a seasoned gynecologist serving as medical director. So, Guy, what does their financing history look like?
We modeled a simple cap table here. Much shorter, of course. This was their first equity round since founding as an ETH spin-off in May 2024. In July, they raised a $3.4 million seed round, which put them on our August transactions list. The deal valued the company at about 6.5 million Swiss francs pre-money. What's interesting is the investor mix. Around 40 business angels from networks like Start Angels, Sky Angels, Stockley Medical and SICTIC participated.
They also brought in support from VentureKick, the Kick Fund, S2S Ventures, and even a charitable foundation. But 40 investors on a cap table this early, isn't that a nightmare?
It would be, but they handled it smartly. I spoke with Stefan Tuchschmidt, and they pooled the investors into four groups, one each for Stockley Medical, Start Angels, Sky Angels, and a group of German family offices and angels. Each pool has a single representative on the cap table, so instead of 40 individual lines, you just have four. Smaller tickets were syndicated, and others were bundled with pooling agreements. It keeps things clean.
And you also talked to the lead investor from Start Angels, right? What convinced them to invest?
Yes, I had a call with Peter Müller this afternoon. For him, it was the overall package. First, machine learning in medical applications is clearly a growth sector, and endometriosis is a massive, underserved market. Common, painful, often misdiagnosed. Second, the tech itself. Ultrasound is tricky because the data are moving images, more like video than still photos, and extracting insights is hard. Scanvio's solution impressed him. And of course, the team. Peter knows Stefan well. They worked together at Virtamed for 9 years, where they eventually achieved a successful exit. That personal trust weighed heavily in the decision. The new board setup also mattered. Sabrina Stockley from Stockley Medical and Joachim Pilarski from Start Angels joined during the financing. Interestingly, Scanvio actually had term sheets from VCs on the table, but declined them. Stefan told me they consciously chose angels instead.
Yeah, I wanted to ask about that. Wouldn't Scanvio actually fit Koyo's thesis? I think it's a shame when founders exclude VCs a priori. Why might they? Three possible reasons. First, they might not want to build a global hypergrowth case, but rather a solid, profitable SME. That's not attractive to VCs who need a 10 to 100 times return. Second, some founders just don't want VC pressure. They don't want board veto rights, liquidation prefs, anti-dilution clauses. They want peace of mind and the freedom to build at their own pace. Third, an early strategic exit may be more likely. In medtech, corporates like GE Health, Siemens, or Philips often acquire early at 2 to 3 digit million valuations. That's great for angels, but not for VCs who hate early exits. So avoiding VCs gives Scanvio maximum flexibility.
Exactly. Stefan actually told me the same thing. He's a serial founder. He knows the game. He believes the most likely exit here is a strategic buyout once they have clinical traction, an ultrasound manufacturer integrating the tech into their systems. Those deals are usually in the tens to low hundreds of millions, not unicorn level. If a VC needs a 20 to 30 times return to justify the risk, but the exit is capped at, say, 100 million Swiss francs, then the math simply doesn't work. For angels, though, that can be a fantastic outcome. So it's not about rejecting growth per se. It's about aligning funding strategy with the most realistic exit path. So the big question, are medtech AI cases really VC grade, or what does it take for them to be?
Honestly, it's tough. First, the market size has to be multi-billion, otherwise the scale just isn't there. Second, the growth potential needs to be massive. But in medtech, adoption can be slow, and it often requires heavy upfront capital, especially if hardware is involved. Third, the regulatory hurdle. Certification takes years, costs a fortune, and delays commercialization. As chair of a medtech company myself, I know how painful that path is. So yes, medtech can absolutely be VC grade, but it's harder to assess and riskier. You need a hungry founding team willing to fight through the long cycles. That's what's remarkable about Stefan. He's saying up front, we're not chasing a billion-dollar outcome. We're happy with a smaller, realistic exit. That honesty is refreshing, but it also means Scanvio is not a classic VC case. For us at Koyo, diagnostic AI in medtech remains very interesting. But the reality is, only a few of these startups will truly reach VC scale.
Yeah, let me add one more point. What's really exciting in cases like this is the potential beyond the first indication. Right now, Scanvio is focused on endometriosis. But if the software is installed on thousands of ultrasound machines, it will generate huge volumes of labeled data. With that proprietary data set, which competitors can't easily replicate, they could train models for many other conditions. That's when the real value emerges. Leveraging the same data foundation to expand into new diagnostics.
So how exactly will Scanvio use the capital they just raised?
According to their roadmap, the funds go into three main areas. First, product development, making sure the AI software integrates seamlessly into daily clinical workflows and is robust in real-world use.
Second, building the world's largest labeled dataset for transvaginal ultrasound images. That's key. Because AI can only learn to reliably spot subtle patterns of endometriosis and eventually other conditions with massive, high-quality datasets. In the end, that data moat could be their strongest competitive advantage.
And third, of course, regulatory approvals. They're working on CE certification under Europe's MDR framework and pursuing FDA clearance in the US. Without those, there's no broad market entry.
They've also built clinical partnerships in Switzerland, Austria, France, and even Egypt, which are invaluable for running pilot studies and proving the software in real-world practice.
Right, and the milestones for the next 12 to 18 months are crystal clear: regulatory approvals and OEM partnerships for software integration. In short, the fresh capital is the bridge from prototype to a fully certified medical product ready for gynecology clinics everywhere.
And if they pull that off, this won't be a niche tool anymore. It could become the standard of care in endometriosis diagnostics. Maybe then it will turn into a VC case. Laughs.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, that brings us to the end of the show. Wow, our very first deal recap for August. We'd love to hear your feedback. What did you think of this new format? We'll be doing this once a month, looking back at the previous month with three deep dive cases plus an overall market snapshot. Next week, we'll be back to our regular setup with the week's headlines, the listener question, a deep dive topic, and the deals of the week. That's it for Burn Rate this week. If you want to support the podcast, subscribe to our newsletter and share it in your network. Thanks for listening. Have a great weekend. Take care and goodbye.